Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I'm excited to be here with you this evening. We are here for day 21 of the consecration. This is not an ending. This is a beginning of the new direction, of the new dedication that you have in your life. That's what consecration is about. It's about what you're dedicated to. It's about what you're beholden to. It's about what your priorities are. Consecration is about receiving instructions from Yah that take us into the manifestation that he's calling us into. And consequently, what he gave me for the series was consecration, the road to wonders. It's the thing that Joshua says to the people of Yah as they are preparing to go and take the promised land, to go into the promise. He says, listen, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow Yah will do wonders among you. It wasn't a 21-day situation, but this was just a conversation. That's what this consecration was about. It was about the conversation, defining and identifying the things that the Father is speaking to us in this word, in this simple word, consecration. It's the road to wonders. And I want you to understand some things. At the end of the day, you are absolutely going to understand that consecration has challenged your commonness. That's what it does. It challenges the commonality. It challenges mediocrity. It challenges a position, and it changes us. Consecration absolutely changes us. It starts in our mind, and that's why we've been talking about the mind and dealing with the images. But then we wound up getting into the conversations about business, because everything about what the Father desires out of the sons is really about kingdom business, and kingdom business spans a vast amount of real estate of the earth. It spans from one end of a thing to the other. You know, we're dealing with the relationship with the Father, and in that relationship, we're dealing with the communication between the sons. We're dealing with the covenants that should be made in those relationships on different levels. We're dealing with the trade and the commerce and the business that's supposed to be taking place as a result of these connections. It's just so much that's in consecration. And the wonders, consequently, that the Father wanted to do among them was to bring their enemies into subjugation, to subdue their enemies, to overthrow the enemies, to dispossess the adversaries, and to take the land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Day 21. We're on day 21 of this consecration. And again, this is not the end. This is the beginning. Listen, I want you to take some moments, just take a few moments, and get somebody on the line tonight. I believe this is going to be a blessing. It's the final day of the series, not the final day of your consecration, because now that you understand what consecration is, you can go about, you can go at it a little differently, right? Consecration is not a fast, although you may consecrate yourself in a fast or be called to fast in a consecration, but it is not a one-size-fits-all conversation, okay? Consecration is simply the instructions that the Father would give to his sons to facilitate kingdom operations, kingdom movement in the earth. And so we've got to wrap our heads around these things, because it's really important that when he calls us into something, that we understand what he's talking about. You know, when Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, he didn't leave that open for interpretation. There was no interpretation necessary, because the thing that he says, right after he says, consecrate yourselves, he says, go wash your clothes. What is he saying? He's saying, prepare yourselves for movement. They don't want to carry dirty clothes on their journey, right? It's time to get up from this place. It's time to facilitate movement into this divine place that we're being called into. It's time to facilitate movement into this divine promise that we were actually given a covenant for. Actually, there was a conversation and there was a covenant, and this is the hour of the manifestation of that promise. I believe tonight that there are many of you who have been awaiting the manifestation of promise, and you have been a little discouraged in your waiting. And I think some of the time that we are discouraged because of the waiting is because we have never been taught how to wait. And until we are taught how to wait, we cannot relate. Yeah, until we're taught how to wait, we cannot relate. So we're relating all wrong. You know what I'm saying? We're relating all wrong. Listen, I'm going to put you guys on a quick hold. I'm going to put this music on because I want you guys to invite somebody into the room. I'm going to go and silence my dog because she is really having a barking fit. And so I want her to be quiet so that we can continue in the broadcast tonight uninterrupted. So I'm going to put the music on just for a moment. You guys go ahead and get somebody else on this line. We'll talk in just a moment. Peace. All right, I'm back. Excited to be back. Listen, we are in consecration, the road to wonders. This is day 21 of the consecration, and we just had a little bit of conversation. One of the things that we were talking about before I was so rudely interrupted by my animal was that until we can define a thing, until we're given instructions that we can relate to, you know, we're always moving in the wrong direction. We're not going to be able to move like we need to move until we can relate. And so often when things are unrelatable, we're hesitating and we're unsure and we're uncertain and we are not clear. There's no clarity there. But I believe that tonight the Father's going to give us clarity in this word that's going to give us some direction and some protection for the days that are ahead of us. Father, we give you glory tonight. We thank you and we honor you for this evening. We thank you and honor you for this time that you have called us into, this time of consecration, this time of conversation, this time of dedication to the instructions that you would give your sons in this season and move us into the manifestation of the promises that you have made. And we're thankful tonight that you have revealed these promises to us and that you are a God of promises. You are not like man. You don't lie. You're not holding anything over our head. You're not dangling a carrot in front of our face. You genuinely have a desire to see our expectation, the expectation of your heart, our expected end, the good and the expected end of your sons, that final, the final outcomes of life, not just the ending of a thing, of a final, you know, of everything, but the endings of each issue, the endings of each sector of our lives. There are outcomes that you desire for us. You desire outcomes in our relationships on all levels. You desire outcomes in our finances. You desire our outcomes in our physical bodies. You desire outcomes in how we think and how we move and how we feel. All of these things are desires of your heart, and you have an outcome, a dedicated outcome that you have already ordained for us. And so our desire is to tap into that dedicated outcome. We want to be of the same mind. We want to see the thing the way you see it. We want to say the thing the way that you say it, because we understand that our meditation is producing our manifestation. So we thank you right now that you've given us what we should meditate on. You've told us what to think on. You've also spoken and said, don't let this word, this solid word, this instructional word, don't let it depart out of your mouth. That speaks to the vision that you have given us. That speaks to the vision that you have given sons in the earth. Don't let this thing depart from your mouth. In other words, repeat it over and over again. It's the thing that Joseph did that got him thrown into a pit. He didn't know who he should repeat it to. But we thank you for the wisdom of the hour, so that we're careful of who we repeat the vision to, that we're careful and understanding that we should absolutely discern our environment before we have conversations about things that you have in confidence. You know, you in confidence told us some things. You in the confidence of our sacred place and our secret place, you have communicated some things with us, and you did not expect for us to broadcast it to everybody, because they were not ready to handle what you had spoken. So we thank you for the wisdom of the hour. We thank you for the wisdom of the hour, excuse me, and that you have given us this wisdom so that we will know what we should both say and speak and the environment that we should say and speak them in. We're thankful tonight that you have given us environments for our assignments. We recognize that every environment is not an opportunity. Every environment is not an opportunity to release certain things, because the master could not do many mighty works even in his own hometown, because they were unbelieving people. And so there are environments that we should not contend. And I believe Apostle Jeremy kind of brought this to bear the other night when he was talking about the conversation that had come up when he was playing hockey. And he was very passionate about how he feels about things, but that thing could have turned into a position where he would be turning the people that really needed him the most off, turning them off where they would not be able to hear him in the greatest time of need. So he opted out of being right. He opted out of proving a point. He opted out of making his point to say, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy the fellowship. I'm going to enjoy the relationship. And he positioned himself in wisdom to be able to win the soul. And so we're thankful tonight that you're giving us an understanding that there is a position that you're calling us to in every environment. And so that position is going to prove to be the thing that profits us. Not only will it profit us, but it will profit the kingdom. Not only will it profit the kingdom, but it will profit the people that we are connected to. We thank you and we glorify you now for the word that you're going to release tonight, for the wisdom that you're going to release tonight, for the revelation that you're going to release tonight. And in the release, Father, you're going to give us the desire to move in the thing that you're speaking. You're going to give us the desire for movement, for facilitating activity that goes beyond just our thinking, goes beyond just our speech, but it begins to take on shape. It begins to have legs and arms. It begins to have movement that is going to send us in the direction of our destination. And so we're thankful tonight. We are thankful tonight, hallelujah, that you are changing our thoughts, that you are giving us not only what to think about, but you are absolutely causing us to understand that renewal of the mind is the value of where we're going to find ourselves tomorrow. The renewing of our mind today is how we're going to find ourselves in the successes of our tomorrows, and we thank you tonight for success. We thank you for victory. We thank you for more than conquering. We thank you tonight that you are the God of conquer, that you are the God of overcome, that you are the God of victory, that you are the God of war. We thank you tonight for being all that you are to us, for being our Father, and for calling us your sons. We give you praise and glory, and we may just be throughout the night praying on different points, but I just wanted to take the time just to have that conversation because we need to have the preparation that we need to receive this word that he's going to give us tonight. I think I want to start with this fact. There is a mindset behind consecration. We've been talking a little bit about that. There is a mindset behind consecration. There is an expectation behind consecration and a spurring to action, both verbally and physically. If we look at Adam in the garden, he's dressing and keeping it. The word declares that the dressing and the keeping is the cultivating and the protecting. But there's another element that's added to that cultivating and protecting, that dressing and that keeping. He also gives him the ability, the anointing to be fruitful, to multiply, an anointing to re-up or to replenish. And that is the creative anointing that was breathed into Adam to subdue. This is a part of his ability. This is a part of his attributes. The same attributes that the Father had is what he breathed into mankind. And so to subdue and to have dominionship, I'm calling it dominionship, no matter how great or intricate or intimidating, it's just one move that makes it all fall. I was looking at this word dominion, and I saw the word domino, and I thought that was so interesting that the word domino was at the beginning of dominion. You know, it's just the one end off. That end is off, and it's domino. And I thought, wow, no matter how tall it's built, no matter how great it's built or intricately detailed or intimidating, it's only one move, and the whole thing is coming down. And that's the place that the Father has called his sons to. It's a place of authority that we would absolutely operate in our full dominion in every environment that we are called to, so that those things that are subject to our authority, the principalities, the powers, okay, the authorities of darkness, the diabolic destroyers of destiny, all of these things would understand that they are subject to our dominion. Are you hearing me? You have to understand your position, because this is the adversary's biggest discussion with you, that you would not understand your identity or your authority. And the moment you don't understand your identity and your authority, there is an open door there. There is a door of invitation for the enemy to come in and to set up camp, to set up a place of dwelling, to set up a place of rulership and a place, a seat of authority in our lives. And so this is the thing that we're to do in every season, and that's to keep the adversary unemployed. The thing that Adam did not do in the garden, he did not keep the adversary unemployed. As a matter of fact, he bent to the will of his own desires. He bent to the will of his own fleshly desires. That's why the Bible says all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, and we know that that was the beginning of this fall. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What was the adversary coming to Eve with? He knows that you want, he's trying to keep you from being great. You know, he knows that when you eat of this fruit, that you're going to be as gods. They were already as gods. They had a pride of life. They were seeking a position. He was downloading his mentality and his mindset to them in their their moment of weakness, in their moment of acceptance. He's downloading something that opposes the very victory that the Father has given them, you know, and it's just amazing to identify with this position that the enemy has come from. We have to man our territory. We really have to man our territory. But in order to man the territory, we have to know what the territory is. We're talking about dominion. We have to understand what the territory is. If you look at the children of Israel, these Hebrew children were given boundaries. It's one of the things that men do not like to abide by. And when I say men, I'm not talking about male. I'm talking about mankind. Tonight, I'm thankful for everybody that's on the line. Bless you if you're on the line for the first time, we're glad to have you here, and you're more than welcome to return. Those of you that are listening from over the waters, we are thankful for you. We pray that this word is blessing you, that it's getting in the city of your soul, and that it is restructuring and rebuilding the gates of your city so that you are not compromised in this season, but that you retain this word and utilize this word to continue to build out the vision and the purpose that the Father has called you to. Those that are in the U.S., we're thankful for you tonight. I didn't want to go past that and not give you guys some honor tonight for just being here tonight and giving me just a little bit of your time. One of the things that the Father began to speak to me before I got on the line, and tonight we're going to talk about this just a little bit. He began to have a conversation with me about unfinished business. Yeah, unfinished business. Write that down. That's really important. There are some things that are unfinished, and I think we kind of went into this the other day. Guys, forgive me. I'm drinking my smoothie and talking. I'm a smoothie fan. However, that has to be one of the nastiest smoothies I've drank in a long time. So I may have to take a break and call DoorDash and tell them to re-up on that because that's a hot mess. Anyway, my God. I don't even know what I was saying. Listen. I'll get myself back. Oh, captivity. The things captivity keeps us from. The things captivity keeps us from. Oh, I don't know what I was saying there. Forgive me, y'all. I'm looking at my notes tonight to make sure that I stay on task, and I have no clue what I just wrote. Okay, captivity doesn't end when we leave Egypt. I know that's what the Father was speaking to me. So I don't know what the things captivity keeps us from. I don't know what that has anything to do with what I'm saying tonight. Leaving Egypt is only the beginning of the journey. Okay, I know. That's two separate thoughts right there. It's things that captivity keeps us from, but we're not going to go into that right now. I want to just make the statement that leaving Egypt is leaving bondage is only the beginning of our journey. And oftentimes when we're talking about consecration, It's not an open-ended thing. It's a perpetual thing. This is why we have to have the definition that is necessary to move in the things that the Father is calling us to. You know, oftentimes we're thinking of deliverance and freedom from captivity as an event, and it's not an event. It's actually the beginning of a lifestyle. That freedom from captivity is a lifestyle. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new mindset. It's a new way of doing things, and it's only the beginning of the journey. When the children of Israel leave Egyptian captivity, that is only the beginning. They have to then go through all of these other processes to get to that promised place, and this is a real thing. You know, it's a real thing. It's a challenge to the emotions. It's a challenge to the mind. It's a challenge to the heart, and this is why the Father took them the way that he took them, because had he taken them the shorter route, they would have really been discouraged and been really trying to turn around and go back. Not that they didn't at some point begin to voice those kinds of things, but had he taken them the route that was shorter, and, you know, sometimes we're having some forms of complaints about the way that we've been taken. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me earlier when I was in prayer with somebody that we are becoming the wisdom that we didn't have when we were growing up. We're becoming the wisdom. The reason why we had to be processed through so much, the reason why we had to endure so many things, was because the Father was, he was making us the wisdom to the next generations that we did not have. We didn't have the wisdom. There was nobody to give us the wisdom that we possess now to give to nations, to give to children, to give to the next generation. There was nobody in our circles, nobody in our family that possessed this level of information to bring this level of transformation to a people. And so the reason why we were processed the way that we were processed is because he was making us the answer to other generations. And this is why consecration is so important, because in that consecration, you're able to see through the lenses properly. You'll come into the place of maturation where you begin to see through the lenses properly. Your vision is not skewed, and you have the right perspective about your life. This is one of the areas that the adversary comes at us as well. He wants us to go back over our life, to be sorrowful, to be regretful, to have all of these different things going on and working in us as far as our emotions. But the reality is the Father knows the way that he takes us. there is a conversation in Daniel that speaks about some of the wise falling. It says some of the wise will fall, but the purpose of their falling is not to for them to be counted out. It's absolutely for the purpose of them to be preserved for another season. How many of you fail in a season and you thought you weren't going to come out? I just look back over my life of just the last couple of days and realized that for maybe 3 decades almost, I was in a cycle for 3 decades. But now I'm right back at square one on so many things. He took me back to square one. Thank you, Father, for knowing and for watching and for seeing and for caring that he would desire so much for us to have this good and expected end that I was talking about, that he would take us back to the top. There was a TV show many years ago, and I really wish I could find either the previews or, you know, maybe some kind of recording of these. The name of the show was called Daybreak. It was a really powerful show. Taye Diggs was in the show, and I believe Rosario Dawson might have been in that show. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but I know Taye Diggs was the leading character in that show. Well, what was going on in the show was there were events that were taking place every day, and then there were things that would happen that were like mishaps or something went wrong and there was no answer to it or, you know. But what would happen was Taye would go to sleep at night. The actor, his name wasn't Taye Diggs in the show, but this is his character. Taye Diggs' character would go to sleep at night, and he would wind up in the dream rehearsing the day before. Now, he's in this rehearsal of the day before. He's going back through it with the identification and the understanding and the definition of yesterday and how it was handled and how he came to the objections of the day. So now he has an opportunity to make a different decision. And I believe that prophetically, this is the way that the Father redeems time. We've already been in a place. Many of you have already been married before. You've already had big business before. You've had these things and you've lost them. Many reasons why things have been lost. Sometimes we married the wrong people. Sometimes it was the wrong season. Sometimes people just didn't know how to behave or whatever it was. But now the Father is saying, you're coming back to square one. You're coming back to the beginning of a thing. And now that you are back at the beginning, you're going to know how to process through this thing because you've already been here before. And so I just think that it's such a powerful thing to understand the journey, to know that when you come out of that captivity, when you're coming out of that captivity, it is not the end of a thing, but it is the beginning of a thing. And so you have to have the mentality of beginnings and not endings. You have to have the mentality of beginnings and not ending. So when we're talking about the consecration, it's not the end, but it's the beginning. Unfinished business is what the Father kind of titled tonight. I didn't put it in the topic, but that's what he wants to talk about tonight, unfinished business. But I want to read to you day 21 of consecration. I want to read to you what he gave me to say concerning day 21. And I didn't even, wow. Okay, the beginning of this is a business theory to ponder and act out. This is the conclusion of the beginning of the next dimension of a consecrated life. Knowledge is simply being informed of data. Knowledge is not power in and of itself. It is the activation of said knowledge or information that houses the power. And this is so important that we understand that the Father is calling us into this place of action. He's calling us into a place of action. The instruction is going to go forth. The revelation is going to come. But after these things happen, after we've received of these things, even after we've been moved in our spirit and moved in our heart, you know, you have that unction and you have that feeling, you have that zeal that comes upon you, the power of the Holy Spirit that rests on your physical body, and you recognize that some kind of transformation, something has taken place. That's the announcement that there's something for you to do, that you have been empowered to accomplish something. So it's not the knowledge or the information that's being given that the power lies in. The power for you lies in you activating the word that you're receiving, and you not only receiving the word as in, oh, I received that, no, but you acting on it, because that shows that you have really received the word. So let me say it like this. This is how he gave it to me to say. Let me say it like this. It's great to have one in the chamber when an enemy is approaching to your harm. It's great to have one in the chamber. Yeah, it's great. You know, But until the trigger is pulled, there was no protection. Okay? No protection. So I'm telling you that this is the era or the age you are to step out of the boat. You've been in the boat too long. You've been just riding around too long. You've just been in a comfort zone way too long. It's time for you to identify that there is something calling you to the waters. You need to step out of the boat and step on to the water. Notice I didn't say step into the water, because you're going to step onto the water, because prophetically, this is the significance of this. You're thinking that this thing has the authority to bring you under when you've been called to be over it. When you've been called to have dominion over everything, the waters, the wind, the waves. You understand what I'm saying? That you've been called to have dominion over these elements. And so you're to step out of the boat in this season. You're to launch out into the deep. I know you think that because you have been doing this for a very long time, that you have a cycle and a system and all of that. But when you are failing in the previous cycles and systems, you have to understand that that is the time when the Father will send deliverance. And in the case of the disciples, in the case of Peter, the master is on the scene now, and he steps into the boat and he says, you're going to need to launch out into the deep. Understand, Peter is a fisherman. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's at night fishing because if there's something specific that he's trying to catch, and it only is caught at that time. It's not caught in the daytime. But he did make the statement, we have toiled all night. We have toiled. We have wrestled with this thing all night. And guess what? At the end of the wrestling, we have come up with nothing. The Father is saying, this is the hour that the wrestling is over. And now if you can hear the instruction, you will launch out into the deep. And when you launch out into that depth at this new time, not even at the time that was approved before for what you were trying to catch, you're off the schedule. You're not even in time. I want to talk about that just for a minute. You know, we have gotten locked into some things. Time was a teacher. It was not to be a master perpetually. We were to master time at some point. This is why we were talking about this the other week, that we are masters of time, that the Father has given us authority over time. That's why he says redeeming the days, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. There's a redemption of time that the Father is calling us to. You remember Joshua, he spoke to the sun and the sun stood still. You remember the conversation between Isaiah and Hezekiah? Hezekiah decided that the dial, he said, do you want the dial to go forward or backward 10 degrees? Listen, he had to make a decision, and that thing was stopped upon his decision. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying, you need to understand that in this moment, I know that you have thought that you understood the timing of things. I know that you have thought that you had a handle on some things, but he's saying that in this hour, even though you thought that that was the time to do this, you came up empty. You came up wanting. You came up without what you went out to get. But in this season, if you can hear the instructions of the Father through those that he's sending to be a deliverer to you, through those that he's sending to be an instructor to you, then you're going to find yourself needing to partner with people in order to catch or to carry the thing that is released to you in this season. The Father is serious about our connections. He's serious about us connecting and partnering with people properly, so that there is no disagreement. There is no battling. There is, you know, all of that is not necessary in this season. There's plenty. It's enough for us to all eat. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have to fight over the few fishes and the few pieces of bread that the boy has, because the master's getting ready to multiply that, and we're going to have 12 baskets at the end. Just sit down. Just relax. This thing is about to blow up just from this small situation. But you got to have, remember we were talking about this at the beginning, it's that expectation. It's that thing that is produced in sons. I'm going to go back to that real quick, because I think that's a powerful conversation, that expectation is necessary. He said there is a mindset behind consecration, and the mindset is about an expectation and a spurring to action. But that expectation is everything. It's everything. He said, you'll only find the success you've heard in your ear. And where I said ear, not ears, because there's some things that the Father has spoken to you by way of the Spirit that you have heard and seen with your eye. I'm not talking about your physical eyes. I said eye. Seen with the mind of your spirit, the eye of your spirit. You have seen this. It's only going You're only going to find that success after you take the steps based on the divine infallible proofs that he's put before you. He's given us example after example. You've come through things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're still talking about consecration. We're still talking about what we're dedicated to. We're talking about being dedicated to a mindset, being dedicated to a godly construct so that we have the outcomes that he has desired for us to have. And we're talking about business because this is definitely connected to consecration in this season. The things that the Father is desiring to do are the wonders, the things that you've only imagined, the things that you've only heard and seen by way of the Spirit. That's the thing he wants to perform. As a matter of fact, that the part that you can wrap your head around, the part that you can even imagine. I'm going to give you just a few moments just to imagine the things that he's spoken to you, just to form some mental images, some pictures of what he's spoken to you. Put images to the words that he has spoken to you in this moment. And I want you to understand that he has declared that I'm going to exceed that expectation. I'm going to do exceeding and abundantly above that. You don't even have the capacity within yourself at this very moment to even conceptualize the place that I'm taking you, but I want you to have imagination. I want you to ponder some things. One of the verses that he gave us from the beginning, and I thought it was just anomaly. You know, I was like, Father, Genesis 11:6 is one of my favorite verses. And I'm like, am I just throwing that there? He's like, no, you got to understand that consecration is all about a mindset. He said, and those people that were in Genesis chapter 11, those people that were workers, that were a part of the diabolic scheduling and plan of Nimrod in that season to build this thing and call themselves trying to reach the heavens. Now, when we're talking about building, I just want to clarify this, and I want you to go study this. I want you to go look into this because we're not talking about just the height of a thing, okay? I know people like to make it a big deal about the height. We're not talking about the height of the thing as in its natural tallness, okay? When I'm dealing with the height of this matter, I'm dealing with the loftiness, the lofty idea, okay? Have you ever heard all of these different presidents of ours in their speeches talk about this big idea, this new world order? Well, that was already happening in Genesis chapter 11, okay? That's what that was about. It was about an overthrow. It was about creating an environment that would cause this adversary to be exalted to a position of God, to be exalted to this position of all authority, okay? And so we just got to be mindful that we think of things from a Western mentality. We're thinking of things only along the lines that we understand definitions, but we've got to study this out because what the adversary is about the mentality. All of these people that were backing Nimrod in that day who would become a mighty hunter before Yah, you know, become a mighty hunter before him, meaning he had put his authority before the fathers in the lives of these people. Are you hearing me? There was something that had changed in him. He was no longer just a man, but you got to understand the day that he lived in, and we're living in those exact times again where men are seeking by way of diabolic conversation and information of watchers, dark watchers, to change the DNA, to change the structure of things, to change the DNA of plants, to change the DNA of humans, to change the DNA of animals, to mess with things that were God ordained. And this is the purpose of our sonship. So I'm telling you, we got unfinished business. I'm going to give you some examples of some unfinished business. And then I'm going to give you just some ending conversations about those various things that the Father gave me as a key point to deal with things that are in when you're in the unsettled place. There are things that you need to identify with when you're in the unsettled place, and when you recognize the unsettling, then there are things that will bring us into a settled place. There are things that will bring us into the place that we need to be in, that will be in alignment with what the Father is saying, and it will be based on the fact that we have these key points in place that'll deal with the unfinished business. It's unfinished because these things, these components need to be in position in our lives. And so I just think it's absolutely amazing the things that the Father has spoken to us over the last couple of weeks, this 21 days. And it's just been absolutely amazing to me, the conversations. And I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to the conversations that have been spoken, because I believe that you will gather a lot of divine information out of that that's going to assist you with your movement in this season. And there's some hidden things. There's some hidden messages for those that have ears to hear that are in a lot of what we have spoken about over these last couple of weeks. But it's only for sons to hear those hidden things. Maybe other people will just hear enough to come out of some of their places of confusion. We're going to talk about the unsettling here in just a minute. But unfinished business was what the Father wanted to discuss. He wanted to discuss this unfinished business. And he gave me some examples of unfinished business. So I'm just going to go down the list, because I think we're going to pray into some things before we go. And I don't think I'm going to hold you until 11 tonight. I think I want to just kind of get in here and get this thing done and release you guys tonight. But some of the unfinished business. The first person that he mentioned, when I said unfinished business, Father, what do you want to talk about? He said David's word to Solomon. Do you remember the words that David spoke to his son? He said, "And in business, be a man." Yeah, he said, "Handle your business." Now, he also gave him some information to handle in the midst of him giving him these instructions. He said, "There are a couple of people that I have some unfinished business with. There are a couple of people that need to be handled. I'm leaving, but I'm transferring not only my authority as far as the royalty is concerned, but as far as the war is concerned. I need you to handle some things, some unfinished business." And so when we're dealing with the unsettling, that's often a place where things are unfinished. That's why things are unsettled, because things are unfinished. And the very first thing that we need to identify that's going to bring the settling, or that's going to finish the business, is war. And that war could be a number of things. It could be a war on your mindset. It could be a war on, that's a couple of things that I'm thinking about. War on relationships. It could be a war as far as you moving into a business position. Because understand, we've been talking about business being war. It's not anything to play with. It's not anything to joke about. Understand that when you move into that war position, you are contending. You're on a playing field, and there are contenders there. So the very first thing that's going to bring us to a finished place in our business, right, whether that a business across the board, no matter what department it's in, unfinished business is a lack of war. It's a lack of war being waged to finish a business that needs to be finished. The thing that David said to Solomon was, there's a couple people you need to deal with. One of these, he said, don't let his hoary head go down. Don't let it go down to the ground. Don't rest until it goes down to the ground. That's what I'm trying to say. He's saying that salt and pepper head of his, it needs to fall. It needs to come to an end, because there were things, contentions that we had that were unnecessary battles. And I tried to put myself in a position of peace, and this person wanted war. So this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to bring war into this situation, because that's the only way to settle some things, because this thing that I've left you is going to be contended until you wage war against the things that waged war against me, so that those things don't come for you. Man, that's a talk about deliverance right there. That's a conversation family members need to have with other family members, that parents need to have with children. Listen, there's some things that waged war against me. I think we were talking about this the other day, and one of my positions in life right now, one of my strong positions is that as I have walked through these things, as I have gone through these different challenges and oppositions, as I've been challenged in different areas of my life, relationally, business, financially, I've been challenged in all of these areas, and I've been challenged so that I can make it easy for my seed. I can make it easier for those after me. I can be the wisdom again that somebody else wasn't to me, that nobody was there for me to be that wisdom. Now I'm that wisdom, and so I should be able as a leader to shorten the time of other people. Here's the thing, and this is why I love the youth so much. This is probably why I'm called to them, because grown people can have this mentality of they don't have to listen. Sometimes they have to hear it 10 or 12 times before they really grasp it. And sometimes the Father will actually use the adversary to speak a thing that's already prophetically been spoken to us, because we were so stuck in our way. We were so in our own way. We were so refusing to hear or to see or to just receive, because here's what the word says: believe on the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. I'm sorry, so shall you be established. But if you believe on the prophet, that's how you're going to prosper. And a lot of times we're not prospering because we're not able to hear the prophet. We're not able to hear the prophets. We're not able to hear the people that the Father has established as prophetic voices in our lives. And I'm not saying that you should be listening to every quote-unquote prophetic voice, but you better know whom you're called to, because that person that you're called to has the word of the Lord in their mouth, and you're going to need to be able to hear what they are saying so that you can heed what they're saying. Because it's life or death. It's actually live or die. It's actually survive or be gone. It's actually success or failure. All of that is tied to your ability or your capacity to be able to hear what's being said. He tells his son, listen, this is the way you're going to come to a place of peace, and you're going to remain at peace in his kingdom. You're going to have to deal with the unfinished business. That means war has to take place. Y'all write that down. War is the first thing to bring finished business to a close. You got to wage war against the things that are necessary. You only know that. I can't tell you what all those things are. You know what you need to wage war against. Remember the wicked and slothful servant in Matthew chapter 24. We're talking about the talents, right? There is a necessity in order to come into the settled place and in order to come into the finishing of the business. There's a necessity to maximize opportunity. Write it down. Maximize opportunity. The reason why business is unfinished is because there is no maximization of opportunity. This slothful and wicked servant that is being called so is because they did not maximize the opportunity. So there is an unsettling. There's an unfinished business that is left because they refused to take the time to maximize the opportunity that was given to them. They were only given one talent, and the master that gave them the talent knew that they could only handle that. That's all they had the capacity for. It says that he divided up these things that he gave out, these talents, this money, this investment that he made in them, this investment that he gave to them. He divided it up based on their several ability. And he did not give any one of them more than what they could handle, more than what they had the capacity to do something with. He only gave this servant one talent, one investment, one chunk of change. And I wish I could remember what it was worth, but I feel like the one talent was worth some million. So just imagine the one that had two and the one that had five, right? But he did not maximize the opportunity. And I'm telling you right now, I've heard a whole lot of people talking, and I've dealt with a whole lot of leaders. Even recently, I've dealt with some leaders, and I'm saying, I'm giving them a prophetic word. Listen, come into the marketplace. It's time for you to get into your marketplace position. There's a call that's on your life to stand in the marketplace. You need to hear what the word is to you concerning your marketplace anointing, and you need to incorporate yourself and prepare yourself to move strategically in that direction. And I've heard people say, I'm putting some things in place and I'm just waiting on the Father. And I'm saying, you don't need to wait on him to become an LLC. You don't need to wait on him to incorporate a business. That's like $50 in some states. It's $50, maybe $100 and something in some other states, you know, based on where you're incorporating. It could even be up to $200, but I'm saying you can incorporate anywhere. You understand what I'm saying? EINs are free. You know, a Dun & Bradstreet number is free. Positioning yourself in the marketplace, it doesn't take a lot. But if you're not positioned, you're not prepared. So putting stuff in place doesn't mean anything if you're not putting the things in place that he's speaking to you in the moment that he's sending you a word. We've gotten so caught up, we're not maximizing opportunities. When somebody is telling you, I literally had a conversation with a woman of God some time ago, and I just really felt led, you know what, you need to do this. I'm going to invest the time in you to get this done. I gave them the information. I put it before them. Not only did I speak it to them, but I typed it to them so that if they missed anything that I was saying, that they would be able to go back to the words, not only that I verbally spoke to them, but I typed it to them so they could follow. Well, I'm talking to them, and they're doing something completely different. So you know what that says to me? That you are not open and you're not ready to receive. Now, what happened was they went off and they did something. And when they did it, they got scammed out of money. They still didn't have what they needed. And they came back to me like, you know what? I just realized that you were not only an apostle as far as spiritual things are concerned. Well, you don't understand. Money is spiritual too. Knowing how to deal with money and knowing how to do business, that's a spiritual thing too. But I understand the separation because church has told us that this is over here and that's over there. When we don't understand, we've been given everything that we need to live a godly life. That includes every area of our life, relationally, financially, physically, spiritually. All of it is all under the same umbrella of prosperity and victory and conquer. You understand what I'm saying? But she missed the opportunity. I don't have time now to just sit, you know, and rehash things I've already spoken of. It's still in the person's text message, I'm sure. It's still in their chat window. All they have to do is go back to the thing that I already discussed. It's right there for them. You understand what I'm saying? So maximizing opportunity. The first one was war. How do we come to a settled place? There is war that has to be waged. That means coming into specific position against the opposition that is opposing the victory or the thing that the Father has promised. We've got to come into a war place to find that place of peace. We've got to maximize the opportunity, unlike the wicked and slothful servant who was given the one talent. There is a prophetic execution and assignment that is upon us in order to bring us into that settled place and to bring us into that place of finished business. And the Father brought up Jehu and Jezebel. The Jehu and Jezebel finale, okay? Jehu was not the prophet that spoke concerning Jezebel's fall. Elijah was the prophet that spoke of that. But Jehu was the executor. He was the one with the assignment to bring that thing to an end. So we've got war. We've got maximizing opportunity. And we've got prophetic execution and assignment. Okay? Look at this. The woman whose sons would be taken for a debt was the other people that had some unfinished business. Jehu was right before that. He had unfinished business. He had to deal with Jezebel and make sure that her grand finale was her fall. Okay? The woman who had sons who would be taken for a debt, that's another place of unfinished business. All of these places are very familiar places to us. If you go back and listen to this broadcast and kind of associate some of the things that you've been through, you will identify yourself in some of the things that I'm talking to you about. She is in this place and she's distraught because she doesn't know what's next. She doesn't know what she's supposed to do. She feels like she's at the end of her ropes. They're going to take her sons to finalize this debt, right? But there is a prophetic direction that she needs in order for settling to come, in order for business to be finished. Her husband left unfinished business. Are you hearing me? How many of us have had issues where people have left us unfinished business? Really, the things that you're walking through in your life, the things that have challenged you the most, was all about business that somebody else didn't finish. Doors that other people didn't close. Are you hearing me? Now they're visiting you. Now they're visiting your children. It's time for you, all right? It's time for you to identify the prophetic direction that you should be going in to bring closure, come on, and to put this thing under wraps, to put this debt that is owed, to put this thing that the adversary is still trying to take something from you. You need a prophetic direction in order to shut that thing down. It's going to mean that you're going to need to follow that prophetic direction. You're going to need to come into your house and close the door. Make sure everybody else is outside. People that are not supposed to be in there are not in there because there's a transaction that needs to take place. It's a supernatural transaction that needs to take place in the house, and that oil has to be poured into all the vessels that you borrow. And then the oil has to be sold. Are you hearing me? Prophetic direction. So we've got war. We've got maximizing opportunity. We've got prophetic execution and assignment. We've got prophetic direction. These are all of the things that are going to bring the sons into that place of settlement, into that place of a finished business. These are the things that cause us to finish our business. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, is dealing with the Amalekites, okay? They have raided Ziklag, which is the place where him and his mighty men were, where their families were set up. They have raided the place. They didn't kill anybody. I really want to go to that passage. And so I'm going to come back to that because that piece right there is so powerful to me. And as I was rereading that, man, that thing was so powerful. I think I'm going to have to read it to you because I want to bring out some points in that whole passage that I think we often overlook when we're looking at it. So I'm going to come back to David. Let's go to Moshe. He's called back to Egypt. There's some unfinished business. Why? Because the Father had already established a date of deliverance for his people. When Moshe ran off after he had contended with that Egyptian and then was having a conversation with his Hebrew brethren that were fighting against each other, and he realized that it was found out or known that he killed the Egyptian. He ran off, but there was unfinished business, because even the word that came out of the mouth of the two Hebrew sons, those two Israelite sons, or the Hebrews, I'm sorry, when they said, "Who made you a judge and a prince over us?" That's exactly what he was. That's exactly who he was. There was a prophetic word that came from their mouth that they didn't even realize in that season. But Moshe would run off for 40 years, but he would be sent back because there was unfinished business. Are you hearing me? So he had to receive divine instructions. He had to receive divine instructions. So we've got war that bring us into a settled place, that cause us to finish our business. We've got the maximization of opportunity that causes us to finish business and to come into the settlement. We've got prophetic execution and assignment. That's another point or key that causes us to come into a settlement or finished business. And then we've got prophetic direction that causes us to come into settlement, not the unsettling place or the unsettled place, but the settled place. And finished business. And then we've got divine instruction, right? Moshe is given divine instruction. He has that whole conversation, that encounter with the Father at the burning bush. He has the instructions that are given him. Take the staff that's in your hand, throw it down, pick it up. It's a snake, right? Pick it up by the tail. It's a rod again. Put your hand in your coat, take it out. It's leprous, put it back. It's unleprous. It's not leprous anymore. You know, all of these things that the Father communicated to him via that experience and that encounter that he had, it was divine instruction. That is how we come into a place of settlement. Okay? That's how we come into a settled place. It's how we overcome the things that are trying to contend with us to come into that promised place, that place of settlement that the Father has called us into. Samuel, in the selection of a king, you remember this conversation. He says, "Father, how am I going to do that?" The Father says, "I need you to go anoint me another king. I'm done with Saul." He's crying and he's boo-hooing. Listen, these are things that we've gone through. He's crying and he's boo-hooing. "No, why can't Saul be the king?" You know, he says, "How long are you going to cry over Saul? I've rejected him." There are some things that the Father has absolutely rejected in our lives, and we've cried over them. We boo-hooed over them. We prayed over it, and the Father's saying, "That's it. I'm done with it. Now I need you to get up and to go anoint me a king. Go and take the oil into another place. Come on now. Go take the oil to another place and do with it what I'm telling you to do with it." Now he gets there, right? He gets there, and he has to anoint or select a king. He's going through all of these people, all of these sons. But all of this is based on his priestly authority that he's doing this thing. This is how we come into the settled place, through priestly authority. And we cannot assume anything in the priestly authority, because you remember Samuel at some point really thought, as he was going down the line of these words, "Oh, this one could be it. Oh, this one could be it." And the Father said, "Nope, not it. Not it. Not it. Not it. Tag, not it. Not it. Not it. Yeah, none of these guys are it." Priestly authority will cause you to identify something is missing. Because that relationship that you have with the Father is going to cause you to identify that this business is yet unfinished. He had unfinished business, and he thought, "Where is another son? You've got somebody else in your house that is missing here, that is not in this lineup. Something is missing, because this oil will not flow. The oil is not coming out of this vial." And he had to go and get David. That was the finishing of the business that Samuel had to go and do, but it was based on his priestly authority that he operated in that moment. He left that place where, you know what, Saul could actually kill me for what I'm doing. The Father said, "No, I've given you priestly authority. I've given you a prophetic authority and a priestly authority, and so you're going to go into this place, and you're going to do what I've told you to do. You're going to tell him that you're going to sacrifice," because that's what priests do, right? He is going to sacrifice. He's going to sacrifice the authority of this former king and to go get this new authority to bring into position. You understand what I'm saying? So we've got war. These are all the points that the Father gave me tonight to give to you guys. War is one of the places that brings us into finished business and to settle place that the Father is calling us to. Maximizing opportunity is number two. Prophetic execution and assignment is number three. Prophetic direction is number four. Number five is divine instruction. And number six is priestly authority. Okay? We've got a couple more here. Oh, yeah, we've only got a couple more here. But I've got to get back to that piece with Ziklag and David and all that, because there's something powerful in there that I want to share with you. King Saul didn't kill what he was supposed to kill. You remember this conversation? He was supposed to kill. He was supposed to kill those diabolic opportunities. Yeah, he was supposed to kill that. You know what? Often we're seeking, we're looking, and we have an expectation. We're looking for opportunities, but sometimes we're going through the wrong doors. Sometimes there are diabolic opportunities that are being presented, just like there are divine opportunities, and we have to be able to discern what opportunity we're supposed to be taking. Now, here's the thing about Saul. He was given a specific instruction. In that instruction, he was given the instruction to kill what he was being sent to kill, yet he preserved what he was supposed to kill. In him preserving that thing, there was still opportunity for darkness to operate or to continue to, what's the word I want to use, to produce, okay? It's the same thing with the casting down of altars that a lot of the kings were told that they did not pull down the high places. Go look in the books of the kings. A lot of those kings did not pull down the high places. And because they did not pull down the high places, Israel kept going into cycles of sin. And then another judge would be raised up, right? So killing diabolic opportunities is one of the things that brings us into a settled place, which is what we saw that the Father was doing with the Hebrew children, with the children of Israel, to bring them into the promised land. They were going to have to kill the opportunities of darkness to prevail any longer. Killing diabolic opportunities. I'm going to go back up to, let's read all of them. So far we've got war as our first one, right? We've got maximizing opportunity. We've got prophetic execution and assignment. We've got prophetic direction. We've got divine instruction. We've got priestly authority, priestly and prophetic authority. We have got that we need to kill the diabolic opportunities of darkness. And I want to go back to this thing with David. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's go there real quick. I'm about to let y'all go for real. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to actually read this because there were some nuggets in here that I really believe are going to bless you. Let me get my glasses. I want you to see this. Now, I'm going to tell you the two things that the Father, these last two things that he gave me that'll bring us into the settled place, and that is encouragement, self-encouragement, and God inquiry. Self-encouragement and God inquiry. Okay, David is dealing with these Amalekites who raided Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know business is unfinished when there is an unsettling, which is what we've been talking about. And settlement defines completion, not settling for something, but settlement. The answer to the unsettling in this case, it's self-encouragement and God inquiry. Let's read this real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. Now understand, Ziklag, these are the mighty men. These are the men that came to him in the cave. These are the men that he built up in another season. It says, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. It was realized that the Amalekites had invaded the south at Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, which is a war tactic to burn a thing with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. One of the things I want to come to the acknowledgement of is I know that we're dealing with people missing some items, but understand they didn't come back to a slaughtered people. They came back to people that had been carried off. They came back to a place that people, where the city had been burned, so they were trying to make them inoperable to operate anymore. And they took their possessions and those things that they loved, those things that they held dear, the things that they were connected to, they took those things with them. It says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept. Everybody's weeping. Everybody is weeping. David is weeping just as much as the men are weeping. They've all lost something. Okay, I want you to recognize that. They've all lost something here. They lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. They're not the only people in distress. He's greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, these are the same people that he built up. These are the same people that were outcast. These are the same people that were thought of as underdogs. Now they've gained some strength. Now they have become mighty men because of their connection. And now they're so distraught that their thought of the leader that is before them is to stone him. Look at this. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. It's something that happens to us when our soul is grieved, when our mind is grieved, our will is grieved, and our emotions. When we're grieved in those places, in our mind, our will, and our emotions, it causes some things to happen within us. I was talking to somebody today that I love dearly. I think they're listening to us tonight. I was saying, you know, I was feeling my fire again. There's some things that are taking place in my life in this season, and I'm feeling rejuvenated. I'm feeling invigorated. I'm feeling enlivened again. There are some things that were taken from me in other seasons, and now I am feeling my zeal. I'm feeling my passion. I'm feeling my vision. I'm feeling all of these things again. So understand that when you're in that place, when you are grieved, there is no way that you can execute what needs to be executed. Understand, these people weren't dead. They were taken. So I want you to see what David does next. He stops grieving. And after he stops grieving, the first thing that he does is, and he encourages himself. Remember, I told you there were two more. Self-encouragement is one of the things that brings us into a settled place. You got to know what to say to yourself when you're going through things. You have to know how to respond to yourself when you're being processed through very tumultuous times, when you're being challenged, and that challenge is very great. You have to be able to have a conversation with yourself that settles you. You have to understand that instead of agitating yourself and keep hyping yourself up on some stuff and keep depressing yourself, you've got to encourage yourself. Self-encouragement. Then the second thing, it says, verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at Yah, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? What's the next thing that David does? He first encourages himself. He has a conversation. He has self-talk. It's the right self-talk. Because we know it's the right self-talk, because the next place he winds up is, and the next place he winds up in is in the presence of his father, in the presence of a mighty God, and inquiring, here we go, inquiring of Yah, what's the next move? Come on now. What's the next move? He said, shall I pursue after this troop? Now, these people ain't dead. They just took our stuff, and they took our people. So now the question is, let me settle myself. Let me have some self-talk. And now let me get in the face of the Father and identify what's my next move. Now, look at what happens when he asks the question. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. This is what the Father answered him. Not only should you pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, you're going to recover all. I am telling you that we are in a season where the Father is telling us, stop crying. Stop being distraught. Talk to yourself. Bring yourself to a settled place. Have some self-encouragement here. And now I need you to get in my presence and identify what's your next move. Shall I? So you're going to have to go to him with the question. Shall I do this? Shall I do that? And then the Father's going to answer you yes, yes, and yes. And then he's going to give you the fulfillment of that thing that you are speaking of. He said, not only shall you pursue, but you shall overtake them, and you shall recover all without fail. Nothing's going to fail. You're not going to miss this thing. You're not going to miss this opportunity. Let's go back up to the top. These are the things that the Father talked to us about tonight. This is what he's saying to us about coming into the settled place. Listen, we're on our way into the settled place. We've been in the unsettled place long enough. We've been walking around in the wilderness long enough. We've been in Egypt long enough. Now this is a time of deliverance, and now settling is coming. Settlement is coming in every area of the lives of the sons. Are you listening to me? But it's going to mean warfare. It's going to mean war. It's going to mean maximizing opportunities. It's going to mean having prophetic execution of assignment. It's going to mean having prophetic direction. It's going to mean that we have divine instruction. It's going to mean that we have a priestly and a prophetic authority that we're walking in. It's going to mean that we do not retain or preserve the diabolic thing, but that we kill every opportunity of darkness, that we kill diabolic opportunities, that we pull down the altars. And then it's going to mean that we encourage ourselves and have God inquiry. Are you listening to me? This thing blessed me tonight, I promise you. This thing so blessed me. I went to, I also wound up in Exodus chapter 17. Y'all read that in your time. Read that in your time. One of the reasons I wound up there is because I really wanted to have a little more depth about these Amalekites. And so when we're talking about these Amalekites, which was what David and them were dealing with, this was a people that were out of Esau. This is Esau's grandson's people, okay? This is familial stuff. So when you go back and listen to this, I want you to identify with what is really happening here. They're dealing with familial stuff, family stuff, okay? But this family stuff was supposed to be eradicated because the father was determined that the Amalekites would be wiped out and there would be no generation of them left, okay? And so that's why I wound up in Exodus 17. So read that in your leisure. Okay, tonight, read that in your leisure. It's going to bless you a whole lot. Father, we just thank you for this word. I want to open the line just for a minute. There are a couple of people on. I'm just going to randomly select the line, and I'm going to open it. So don't hang up the line. Don't hang up, because there's a word in the mouth of every son. You may not think you have a word tonight, but there's something that the Father has given you. There's something that you've heard. There's something that has impacted you, that people are going to be able to hear it from your perspective, even more so than they heard it from my perspective tonight, because that's what the body is for. It is fitly joined. Are you hearing me? So I'm going to open up a line, and I'm going to welcome you onto the broadcast tonight. I don't know who I'm talking to, but whoever I'm talking to right now, I welcome you to the broadcast tonight. And I just want you to share with us tonight what you're hearing and what the Father is releasing to the sons across the world. What are you hearing? Hold on, I got to put my earpiece in. Wait. I want to hear you. Okay, go ahead. 913 is your area code. You are on live. Absolutely. You are on live and you can share. What are you hearing tonight? Unmute your line. You're unmuted.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, that's Prophet.
How are you?
Amazing. How are you?
I'm great. Just dealing with a bunch. The maintenance people just left because my heat wasn't working. So I've been off and on, trying to get the maintenance people to come do my heat. And they just came in. And so while you were talking, I was jumping on and off trying to get my heat.
Okay. Cool beans. What did you receive tonight? What did you hear? What did you hear?
Well, you were talking about the importance of us walking and being ready to walk into what God has called us.
Yes.
And the things that we have went through were for us to be, to help those that are like our family members, our children, different ones, to help them to get over the things, you know, so they won't have to go through the things that we went through.
Yeah. And it won't take as much time
for
them to get where they're going.
And the importance of hearing God and following the instruction and moving into what he put in our heart, the dream that he's given.
Man, that's crucial. That's really crucial. And I'm really mad at this smoothie tonight. I have a smoothie and it is not delightful. Really struggling. Absolutely. We're really excited about what the Father is doing with us in this season. And we are absolutely positioned for the wonders. We're absolutely positioned. We just have to maximize our position in this season. Yeah, we've got to maximize it. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Listen, this was day 21 of the consecration. Oh, my God, you should have got some stuff today.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely good. But praise like God. I said, I jumped off probably jumped off at least three times.
Yeah, you did. I saw you.
And then the maintenance man, oh, you're on the phone. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. That is okay. We want to make sure that the saints have heat tonight because it's going to be cold, I hear. Yes, it's going to be cold.
I'm definitely thankful for what I heard.
Yes.
And I will be going back on so that I can hear the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a blessing to when I was receiving it. I was like, okay, that's what you want to talk about tonight? My partner in crime wasn't going to be with me tonight. His grandson's birthday is tonight, so happy birthday, grandson. So he was going to probably try to jump on tonight before it's all said and done. But that's him thinking I'm going to talk the whole time.
Oh, like, okay.
Not tonight. Yeah, not tonight.
I invited one of my friends. I hope she was able to get on because she was like, give me the week. I'm going to try to get on.
Wow.
I hope she made it.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope she was blessed by what she heard. Yeah. Listen, we're excited to be here with you tonight. We want to invite you to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll be right here in prophetic intercession. This is what he's called us to do in this season. He's changed not only our time for intercession, but our position. So we'll be right here in prayer Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I thought he wanted us on the – I'm going to be on both. I'm going to be on the prayer line and on here. So
what time?
9 p.m. 9 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for right now. That's where we're at. So we're inviting everybody that's already listening to us. Feel free to come on in. Call in the line. There's an opportunity for conversation and fellowship and all of that. This is a wonderful thing for us to do in a time where they want to cover our mouths and our faces. Okay, so let's just fellowship together. That's all I'm going to say about that for tonight. Okay, so let's do that. And we're going to turn you loose tonight. I'm, again, appreciative of you giving me your time and you being able to hear this word tonight. We want you to know that you're blessed. We don't ever want you to forget that. But at the end of the day, we want you to know that the body is not a me thing. You got to get this. It's a we thing. The body is not just you or I individually. It's us together. All right? We want you to remember that. And we will talk to you on Monday at 9 p.m. We'll be right back here. We love you and appreciate you. Prophet, you got anything you want to say to the people tonight?
Walk in your call.
Walk in your call. That's it. That's it. We love you so much. We'll talk to you real soon, people. Peace.